everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. Today's episode continues our peek behind the curtain of Phoenix Comic Con. What exactly does it take to put on a huge comic book slash pop culture convention? Before I get into the interview for today's episode, I just want to remind everyone that the Phoenix Fan Fest, put on by those wonderful folks over at Square Egg Entertainment, who also put on the Phoenix Comic Con in the late spring, early summer. Fan Fest is coming up. It's less than a month away. In fact, what is it, like 3 weeks away? December 4th, 5th, and 6th at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. There's a lot of cool guests, and as I've said before on the podcast, a great place to do holiday shopping if you have friends or family who have interest in comics or pop culture items. A lot of unique things can be found there, a lot of cool deals. So you can go to phoenixcomiccon.com to find all the information. Tickets or badges start at only $10, so be sure and check that out. So today's interview is with Lee Palmer, Director of Operations for Phoenix Comic Con, Phoenix Fan Fest. So this is kind of the hands-on, the nitty-gritty of the show. You know, actually physically putting it together, what's involved with that, discussing things with the city as far as parking and traffic control and having a police presence there so everyone's safe, shutting down parts of the street near the convention center. Things of that nature. So I'll go ahead and let you listen to the interview. Very interesting. It was great to talk to Lee. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. This is Jace from The Comic Source. I'm here with Lee Palmer, Director of Operations for Phoenix Comic Con, Phoenix Comic Fest. Thanks for taking some time to talk to me, Lee.
Not a problem.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Great. I wonder if you could give our listeners a little background on how you got involved with Phoenix Comic Con, what some of your duties are. I mean, Director of Operations sounds very official, and I know there's a lot that goes into it.
There is. How I got involved with Phoenix Comic Con is kind of a roundabout story. Very active with the 501st Legion.
Okay.
My wife and I both are. We ran the Star Wars neighborhood at Phoenix Comic Con for 2010 and 2011. We started with the neighborhood out in Mesa. We moved here in 07, so 08 was our first Phoenix Comic Con. Kind of got hooked. And after the Star Wars neighborhood in 2011, we thought we would see if we couldn't contribute a little more to the convention, and we became the costuming managers for 12 and 13, and then in 14, we're promoted up to directors of operations. And have been that since then. Our basic job is to deal with everything behind the scenes, so to speak. We deal with the exhibit hall, the third floor for Phoenix Comic Con, the exhibitor hall for Fan Fest, line and access, volunteer relations, our attendees registration area, that's ours, and logistics, getting all of our stuff from here to the stadium or from here to the convention center. And it's a lot of stuff.
is that your biggest challenge, logistically, just the setup?
It is a challenge, but we've worked really hard to put processes in place to deal with that. We have an entire team that their sole existence is to, you know, inventory the stuff, order the stuff, get it to where it's supposed to go in the convention center. They're responsible for unpacking it there, packing it up, and getting it back here. Logistically, it's a challenge, but it's not a huge challenge. Probably our biggest challenge is just making sure everybody has what they need.
Okay. And that's during the show itself?
That's during the show and, you know, before the show. There's a lot of work that goes into making sure everybody has what they need before the show.
Right. So vendor setup and things of that nature.
Figuring out how to get our exhibitors in and out of the space is always a challenge. It's a huge challenge at Phoenix Comic Con. There's 600 plus vendors there. And, you know, they all want to be in their space in the first hour.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, there's only so many loading docks, right?
There is. It's very limited. So we tried a process that we tested at FanFest last year for Con this year, and it was a disaster. Stick my hand up in the air and go, yep, that's on me. We make mistakes. We learn from them. We adjust. We've gotten with our partners at the convention center, with our decorator CSI, and we're coming up with an entirely new plan to deal with our exhibitors to make it more efficient getting them in and out.
As far as moving all the equipment, moving the tables, are you mostly staffed with volunteers, or do you have a paid staff? How does that work?
As far as the setup of tables, the pipe and drape and whatnot, we actually have a decorator that does that for us. That is CSI. Awesome group of people to work with. They do shows all over the country. We've been partnered with them 5 years, I want to say. And they bend over backwards for us. You know, anything we need, they are jolly on the spot to take care of it.
Something I think probably most con goers don't appreciate and don't realize, you know, to have a nice looking show, a nice looking show floor, you know, it all adds to the experience.
It does.
That is just an incredible amount of work that goes in to doing that, and that falls on your shoulders.
It does.
So kudos.
Yeah. For Comic-Con, we start on Monday before the show. We start setting up, getting the carpet down, getting all the booths and tables and whatnot set up. So by Wednesday, when the exhibitors move in, they move in, we're ready to go. FanFest is a little different. We start on Wednesday, and the decorator comes in and does their thing on Wednesday. The exhibitors start moving in on Thursday. And yes, it is a Herculean effort by those guys to get this thing done.
Now, you yourself, I imagine, during the show, you're very hands-on putting fires out left and right.
My wife and I are a little lucky because there's two of us as directors of operations. We are able to divide and conquer. And yeah, we run around like chickens with our heads cut off all weekend long. We start at 6-7 o'clock in the morning, and we finish up about 2 o'clock in the morning.
So you must sleep pretty well Sunday night.
Not till Monday. After this year's show, when we got home Monday afternoon, we told our kids, you know, hey, we're going to go take a nap. And we woke up the next day.
There you go. Are there problems that are unique? How much have you, I mean, this is the only show you've been director of operations for. You haven't been in the industry a long time coming from the 501st. But having probably been in the industry and spoken to other people that do what you do, are there problems that are unique to Phoenix? Maybe it's the temperature here, or the way the setup is at the convention center, unique challenges?
I can't really say that there's anything that's specifically unique to Phoenix other than parking. Parking is a challenge every year. Parking for our exhibitors, parking for our volunteers, that is one of the unique challenges here. I know a lot of cities, they do have free parking here and there. Phoenix does not. Everything is ridiculously expensive parking-wise downtown. And they figured out that we're a big show. And if you've been to our show the last few years, you've seen the parking prices start creeping up. Now, first year, I think we were down there, I think I paid $6 to park. And I think this year I paid $25 to park. So.
Yeah, that is something. And it's hard when, you know, there's conventions popping up everywhere competing for, you know, the fans' dollars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, prices are increasing as far as, you know, how much it costs to attend a show, especially if you're a family. And then you have to pay for parking on top of that. And you still want to give these people value for their money. I mean, you're a geek, right? You're a
fan. I am.
That's how you got into doing this.
Yep, I am.
So, I mean, these people, you identify with them.
I do.
So you
very much
You can understand.
And it is something that we take very seriously, and we work very, very hard to try to keep our costs as low as we possibly can. You know, yes, we're in business to make money, but we want our fans and our attendees to have an experience that they can talk about for 12 months, you know, and want to come back to the show. If you don't give them that kind of experience, the show's not going to be around long. And I think that is one of the things that Phoenix Comic Con does better than most shows, is we give the attendees that experience.
Is that, would you say, the biggest evaluator of your success when you get those surveys back and you know, for you personally, for your position, what is your biggest evaluator of success? When the show's over, what do you look back and say, okay, I feel like we did a good job because of this reason?
My wife and I both like to say that our success is when nobody knows we're there. When everything is running smooth, there's no long lines. And yeah, when those surveys come back, we go through and we look at all of the, you know, we want Phoenix Comic Con to know, because that's where people really light us up if there's a problem. We look at every one of those comments. And I think last year there was 6,000 comments.
Wow.
That we went through. It took days to go through the sheet. But we read every last one of them and every last one of the survey results. We take that stuff to heart. And we look at, you know, okay, what are the trends? What are we seeing from the attendees? You know, 2014, lines. We got our teeth kicked in about lines. 2015, we made a lot of adjustments to how we do things with lines, and it was way better. And from 2014 to 2015, we took our line access team and basically cut it in half.
Wow.
So we were doing a better job with lines because of the infrastructure we put in with a lot less people, which means we had better people dealing with lines, and we weren't just throwing bodies at a problem.
Right. Now, there was a big change in 2015, moved a lot of the celebrities' autograph photo op up to the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a challenge logistically, just being having things spread out more.
It actually made it a little easier on our end because we didn't have to try to figure out what to do with several thousand fans trying to get to their favorite celebrity in the exhibitor hall, as well as having photo ops in the exhibitor hall and those lines and the people. And the exhibitor hall got very crowded. And one of the things that I've heard from different attendees that I've talked to, either at the show, after the show, or, you know, even at this event, is we got to go in and enjoy the exhibit hall. We actually got to go buy things. That's cool. You know, if you're going in there and all you're doing is fighting crowds and standing in line, you don't really want to spend a lot of time in there.
Right.
Moving the celebrities up, moving the costume groups up, you know, getting all of those high-line things out of the exhibitor hall gave us a lot of improvement in how traffic flowed inside the building. You know, we had basically the same attendance in 15 that we had in 14, and every person I've heard from has said it was way easier to get around.
It was.
And the lines weren't bad and whatnot. And I walk around and my wife walks around and we look at, okay, so we've made an improvement by moving things upstairs. How do we make it better? You know, the escalators. We're looking at the escalators and how they're flowing. And we actually changed some of that during the show because we were seeing that we were getting bottlenecks here and there. Constantly looking at that stuff, you know, even during the show, trying to adjust and make it better.
Do you have any specific changes that you're going to implement in 2016?
Yes.
Can you talk about what those are?
We're looking very seriously at how we are moving people vertically. We had some issues with elevators in 14 with mobility. We had a few of the same issues in 15 with mobility. We're taking a look at that and see how we can improve that process and getting people up and down. We're really looking at how the escalators are flowing, because we had, all of one escalator going up, all of another escalator going down. And we're looking at seeing if maybe we do a one up, one down, just to see if we can balance that flow out. Talking to the convention center about how people are moving. Cause, obviously we are not the only event they do. They have a lot of expertise in this. I think we're one of the bigger events that they do. And, they had the NFL Experience down there. My wife and I went to that. There was not as many people there as what is at our show at any one time. So movement becomes, what works for that doesn't necessarily right. work for us. That's probably one of the biggest things we're looking at. And then getting our exhibitors in and out for 16 is going to undergo a massive change.
Got to be better than last year.
Got to be better than last year. Can't do that again.
Well, I noticed in traveling from the exhibit floor to the third floor that it seemed like you'd walk all the way across one floor to go down and then walk across the next level and then, go down or up or vice versa. And I heard some people complain about that. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is just how many people are there. And if you have everyone trying to go up and down those bottlenecks, and then they're going to complain about that. So from your perspective, it's kind of like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
It is a bit of a no-win situation. But if we can make it 1% better by changing something, it's a win.
I just want our listeners to realize that we are all human. We all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of these complaints, but it's...
Absolutely.
You've got to choose the best option. It may not be a perfect option. You can't please all the people all the time.
The perfect option would be transporter technology.
Oh, there you go.
Not there yet. So, yeah, it is. It's sometimes you're looking at how we're doing things and you're choosing between the lesser of two evils.
Right.
Are we going to torque off this group or are we going to torque off this group? We try not to torque off anybody, but it's impossible.
Right. With this many people, with this kind of event, you just do the best you can.
You do.
Now, do you work, as far as the outside, things that you have with like the cars and such, you work with the city itself?
Yes.
Hand in hand, traffic,
yep.
Having a police presence and
yep.
things like
that? We work with the city of Phoenix in our street layout and design. That street is owned by the convention center. So we have to work with the convention center as well because they have certain rules we have to abide by. We work with Phoenix PD because they're the ones that get our cars and whatnot in and out of that space. We work with another company that actually closes the streets and puts all the signage up. There's a lot to go into closing that street down and having it be cool for our attendees.
Yeah, I feel like as big as a convention has gotten in the last couple of years, again, it's something that adds value that I think people don't necessarily realize. The worst 30 minutes of my life every year is leaving the convention at San Diego on Sunday afternoon. Because every other day, there's more programming, there's after hours things, and so you don't have 100,000 people all trying to leave at once. But on mm-hmm. Sunday afternoon, 5:00, it's over, everybody leaves at once, and it's just this massive sea of humanity in the front, and you feel like you're a sardine in a can.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix Comic-Con is not like that.
No, we don't just end. We wind our show down. We have, and we set up our programming to pull people out of the exhibitor hall as the exhibitor hall closes. And then the programming starts to wind down. And then the outside street activities start to wind down. So you're not dumping all of those people out of the building and going, okay, we're done. Have a nice day.
So it's something that Phoenix Comic Con consciously does.
Yeah.
We
plan it that way, both starting up the show and taking the show down is everything is staged so that you're not, having that mass of humanity all trying to go at the same place at the same time.
Cool. Well, my last question, Lee, a little bit on the personal side.
I can't imagine that you ever thought you were going to be the director of operations for a giant comic book convention when you're growing up.
Nope.
Right.
So, I couldn't have said I was going to be director of operations for a giant comic book convention 2 years ago.
Is it a rewarding job? Do you love what you do?
I do.
With all the headaches?
I do.
Even so?
It is the single most rewarding job I've ever had in my entire life.
Bringing joy to geeks everywhere.
It is a reward. I walk around the convention and I see people having a good time. They're smiling. That's my reward. It was one of the reasons I got into costuming with the 501st was putting smiles on people's faces. And instead of doing it for, you know, a couple hundred people, you know, wearing a costume, now I'm doing it for thousands. And the reward is just that much better.
Well, I know you're not going to meet face to face with a lot of those fans, even if they did see you. They're not going to realize all the hard work you do. So on behalf of them, let me say thank you for all your
hard work. You're very welcome.
Thank you to you and your wife.
Thank you. It is a rewarding thing. And, you know, we don't like the spotlight, so to speak. We try to stay behind the scenes, man behind the curtain.
the wizard behind the curtain, Lee Palmer. All right, Lee. Well, thanks a lot. Really appreciate this little peek behind that curtain.
Not a problem.
Not a problem.
Great.